All right. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 82, the post-Gen Con edition. This is Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums. That was Katie dying of coughniks.
This is Brian, carnage for you on those forums that they have out there.
This is Major Tusk. I'm Andy on the forums. And I play mercenaries.
My mom says she's a grump.
She's a grump?
She says I'm a grump.
I should have said this is Brian and I smell nice.
You do smell nice.
You smell nice.
So we've heard.
Hey,
wait,
that's
what?
That has to be part of the Gen Con
story.
All
right, that'll be a story at some
that'll
point
be a Gen Con story. Katie, are you going to introduce yourself this time? Minus the coughing.
This is Katie, Bad Horse on the forums.
Horse, like nay, like thoroughbred of sin.
Yeah, it was funnier the first time around. It wasn't that funny.
It wasn't that funny the first
time. The first time.
No. We are all in various states of exhaustion / mental exhaustion / we just want to take a nap because Gen Con just finished up. It is Monday. I assume we'll be dropping this tonight or tomorrow. But
this will be going up tonight.
Tonight. So if we seem like we're a little low on energy, we are. That's true. You want to take it away, Katie?
We're missing somebody, too.
We are missing someone.
For the first time.
Is this his first one he's ever missed?
It's the first one he's missed.
So in honor of Rydia Fan missing us, does someone have this message is irrelevant queued up?
No.
Unfortunately.
No, that would take planning. This is not a professional podcast.
He could have been here, but he didn't go to Gen Con, so we were like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, you don't go to Gen Con, you can't podcast anymore. You're out. Go away.
No longer part of the cool club.
He might be missing for a couple weeks here, too. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, what was getting
this
married?
This will be my last podcast for maybe, at least 3 weeks. I won't be back for a month.
Yeah, get out of the country.
Yeah.
I'm super jealous. I still want to stow away in Brian's suitcase.
I've been trying to convince him for the longest time because he's going for work and I work at the same place. Yeah. I'm like, well, you guys need training in the department that I'm involved in.
Which is just not true.
which is not true.
You guys need an accountant?
Well, she can count how many little umbrella drinks you drink.
And my passport came in the mail, so everything is set.
Yes.
The answer is zero. He's drinking zero little umbrella drinks.
He said he might.
I might just go down the beach one day and say, bring me a drink and an umbrella, and I'll drink it one night, and then the rest of the week. Then I'll spend 2.5 weeks in Jamaica in my hotel room on my iPad.
Why don't you just get a Shirley Temple?
I don't know who shit that is.
That's the drink you always get at our house, which is a Sprite with grenadine.
Well, I would just ask for a grenadine and a Sprite.
Well, no, just say, I want a Shirley Temple with an umbrella.
All right, maybe we'll do that.
And then you can act cool and like carry it around like you have an actual drink.
Or you could ask them for a virgin Shirley Temple and see what happens.
Yeah.
Or you could just ask for like a mellow.
Well, I want to get a big daiquiri. I want a big fruit.
Yeah, you want like something in a coconut with an umbrella.
No.
That involves rum.
You should get a hurricane.
Yes.
I don't know what the hurricane is.
You should get one.
You won't know what it is after you're done either.
I'll be in Jamaica. I haven't checked the forecast. I may get a hurricane.
Oh, no, it's a drink.
Well,
it's
I'm amazing. Just saying. Well,
you
I assume.
Could all, you're also going to get like a contact high.
Well, I don't know. Our hotel is pretty easy. We'll see.
No, everyone around you is good. It's not like contact, like, oh, I saw somebody in their high, so I felt high. It's like, oh, somebody was smoking, so was everyone else, and so now I'm high.
I'm in a high-class establishment. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'll tell yourself that.
All right.
Brian's going to come back high and drunk. It'll be awesome.
I am the only person on this podcast who have actually seen Brian drunk.
That's true. I have not.
I'm a little jealous.
Where were you? Where were you?
Think of
17
Brian,
years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Think of Brian 11. When he was on grenadine. remember when Brian was on grenadine?
Oh, we all remember.
Yeah,
kind of similar.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's just exciting.
I know, right?
We'd be best friends.
As opposed to whatever it is you are now.
Yeah. Sister wives.
Oh, right. Sister wives, as we established, yes.
So there's a little cattiness.
We were, Brian and I were at the convention. I think it was Saturday.
Probably Saturday.
And we were saying something about Katie and how we needed to get a hold of Katie or figure out where Katie was or let her know where we were or something along those lines. And I believe it was Chuck Elswick said, it sounds like you're both married to her. And Brian and I looked at each other and we looked at him and he said, well, you're not wrong.
Bazinga.
You guys all did sleep in the same room.
We did.
Yes. With Jason and Josh.
Yep. We had a couple of roommates this week.
There was a lot of posts by Jason, Legal Gun.
He about, really enjoyed
somebody sawing some logs.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't remember hearing anything.
Hey, he wanted to stay with us. I feel personally as if there was a he stayed with us the previous year, and so he should have been fully aware.
Prepared. It is kind of funny
because we stayed with him to be more precise.
Well, yeah, we stayed with him, but like it is kind of funny he didn't. Well, but we had that person in our room that was like dying of the plague last year. We had somebody I don't know. They were like every like 5 minutes they would wake up and like blow their like really super loudly congested nose. Like they would, and then they'd fall back asleep, and then they'd start to choke on their own snot. And they'd wake up and they'd blow their like all night long. So like my snoring was nothing last year.
It sounds incredibly gross.
It was. It was gross and loud. Very loud.
Very loud. Very, like, it was very terrible.
Well, we were on the floor, too. This year we had the beds, so
yeah,
it was much better in the beds.
Last year we were delirious by, like, end of Saturday.
And we were there 2 days and we were broke. Like, physically, not money-wise, just, like, body, yeah, mentally.
Physically broken in body and mind.
I was pretty much ready to go after Thursday night. This year, I was like, why am I so tired?
I was really happy. I've never felt better after drinking. I mean, I'm still tired and exhausted, but I mean, we got there at like 3 o'clock Wednesday, game from 3 o'clock Wednesday to basically noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even get all that much sleep. Like, we stayed up till 11:30 one night. I was up till 2:30 another night. Like,
I got about 5 hours a night. Yeah. About 5 hours sleep a night.
Esther's never called me.
Well,
never did.
You know, the phone works both ways.
That's Andy. True. That's true.
And I thought you worked the entire time.
Yeah, I worked during the day most of the days. And then I was out. Actually, I was out with DC a couple times.
That's cool.
Playing some werewolves.
Yeah. I figured it is a werewolf convention at night.
We were walking around the convention hall around like 7 a.m. because Brian's very nice person. And people were still playing werewolf. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, you started 8 hours ago. No game should last this long.
Well, it was a new game.
Well, like probably 75 games of Werewolf over the course of the
still,
evening.
Still, like, it's too much. Go to bed.
They had taped off sections on the carpeting for more Werewolf.
I know.
So people could sit down and play.
It was ridiculous.
It was the first time I've ever played Werewolf, though.
You've never actually played?
Never played. I've always was intrigued by it, but I just never did. I always played Resistance instead.
That's true. We have played that sometimes when other people were werewolves.
Well, I mean, that's if you're going to play one of those games, I mean, Resistance is the correct choice.
Is the right answer,
or
yeah.
Coup. Coupro. Coup.
Coup?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, Coup.
Coup the new.
Coup is fun, man.
Coup or Avalon. Avalon's the knight version of Resistance.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, we're going to have Gen Con rambling. Should we have a segment? Because Katie's a corner.
Yeah, Katie actually has a corner.
And then actually break into our Gen Con discussion and break into our probably Zappities and probably like 8 hours from now.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a warning. If any of you are like really excited to hear your Zappity, we may cut those super short this week. So,
yeah.
FYI.
It may be something in the future that we might cut those short in general. Because
we might.
45 minutes of Zappity grumbles are kind of cool, but they add 45 minutes. We've always wanted to try to stick to like an hour and a half. An hour and a half or so.
We have not been good about that lately.
No.
All right. So for those of you who are not aware, because it's been in retirement for so long, Katie's Corner used to be a thing where I talked about my own little thing, that whatever I wanted to talk about.
What? He's got a jingle.
Katie's Corner, woo!
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's broken.
We'll have to find a new jingle.
It might be fixed by the time I get back from Jamaica. Well see how much I drink.
Actually, I still have the file for that.
That Pip made.
I could add it.
That was pretty funny.
Add in here.
But anyway, before you get too excited for people who used to listen to it, it has nothing to do with War Machine. Yeah, I know. Instead, what we're going to do is board games, because I just play a lot more of those in that I play them at all. And so what we're going to do, and by we're, I mean me, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to rate board games that I've played recently on a scale of 1 to 5 on 5 different points. So we have barrier to entry.
How many levels of vodka?
Oh,
well,
see,
it was a 2-point scale.
See, yeah, Jeremy, why don't you go into why it's a 2-point scale?
No, let's talk about shots of vodka. We could have a shots of vodka scale, a shots
See,
of grenadine
like
scale.
That was like an appropriate joke.
Right? That was pretty good. Good job, Andy.
Anyway, a bear.
I came up with something highly inappropriate for the scale and was laughed at.
Oh.
It was like.
You were laughed at, not your idea. That's just
oh, I'm aware. I'm aware.
Like, it didn't make sense on a logical basis, and it didn't make sense because it was so offensive.
Was the scale just poop or potato?
No, because that would have made some sense.
Oh, and that would have tied to our podcast.
It would have tied the podcast in some way. No, it didn't in any way. Okay, so barrier to entry, that means like how much gaming experience you've had to have in order to kind of learn the game and kind of just the difficulty of learning how to play it and play it well. Fun, so how much fun is it to play? Like, is the artwork good? Is there nice fluff? You know, all that kind of stuff. Strategic depth. So while some games might be harder to learn how to play, they don't necessarily require the amount of strategic thinking and forethought as others. Replayability. So like some games are super fun to play, but you only want to play them once a year. And then the last one is just like a yes, no. Is it co-op versus competitive?
Can I throw out a couple of examples to kind of help people understand your scales?
No. Is it Jeremy's Corner?
All right. I'm sorry. Don't hit me.
So the first one that I'm going to do is Ladies and Gentlemen, which is something that we played this past weekend that was super, super fun. So on a fun scale, I'm going to give it a 5. So it's got a lot of fluff. It's super sexist. It's amazing.
We played it back to back to back.
We played four it times. Back to back to back. And what it is you're either a lady or you're a gentleman. And if you're a gentleman, you must make money so that your lady can go shopping. And the lady will go out shopping, and then you can approve or disapprove her purchases. But the point is she wants to be the prettiest lady at the ball, and smack talk is encouraged. Oh, so yes. Like you'd say, oh, I notice you can't find a dress to fit your hips. Would be how I would say it. I don't know what the men do for smack talk. Your cigarette's not as big, or cigar. I don't know. I don't know what you guys do. I know that but barrier to entry on this one is fairly low. I'm going to give that like a 1, maybe 1.5, 2. There are some things that you need to be able to know. Like you have to be able to realize how much of each thing that you need. If you are playing a lady and you are a gentleman, I have found that men don't seem to understand the concept of just looking at a picture and realizing it's a hat. Like, I don't understand.
They wanted it to have a little symbol that was
there was a deck of cards that was thematically dress themed. Yeah, they had a dress symbol, but then there was like 8 pictures.
So
of
there
things.
Were 4 categories. There was apparel. There were accessories. There were 2 others.
Jewelry.
And
servants.
And so the apparel could be anything from like shoes to a hat to a dress to a cloak to, you know, any of those things. And since each one of those things didn't have its own little separate symbol and it was just clearly a picture of a hat, it was very confusing to the gentlemen in the group.
Several guys had trouble with that concept.
But on the guy's side, you do need to, I think the guy's side is a little bit more strategic. The girl's side is not. The guy's side, you need to be able to play spoons. Yep. And then the other thing that you need to be able to do is decide whether or not you think you can get to I want to say destination card, but that's not it.
I believe they're called contracts.
You want to get to a contract first. And do you think you can get to that contract before somebody else? And is that contract's payout good? Because there's some contracts that you would get $600 for, but if you just traded in your raw resources, you got $600 as well. So, you know, things like that. So that's why it might be a 2, but I think overall it's pretty low. Strategic depth is not very high, like a 1. Like, it's just not a highly strategic game.
I don't know. It's very important to have the prettiest dresses.
I mean, I would disagree a little bit, because, I mean, the servants, like, when the servants, is the games did so well, because the servants were all based on, you need this item and this item and this item. So that's kind of a strategy for the women. If the people who were playing the ladies got the right servants and then maximized the right prettiness level, they could really have their score.
Because I think strategic depth 1 is like a game of war.
Yeah, I mean, I
think it definitely had more strategic depth.
We would
than
never
war.
Play war,
but it is a game.
But it is a game, I suppose.
Exist. I mean, Sorrow. I mean, I think it's more complicated.
Yeah, like Sorrow.
I suppose. I don't know. The ladies' side just came so easily for me because, of course, you'd have servants.
All right.
And of course, you would bribe them. Like, I don't.
Counterpoint.
So maybe a 1 or 2. I mean, it all depends on how familiar you are with games. If you are used to playing things like War, then it's a little bit higher than that. But if you're used to playing things like Terra Mystica, then
it's definitely
a lot lower. So it really depends. It's a nice party game. I think it would serve as a very nice introduction to games for somebody, especially if you guys enjoy drinking and like what do you call it, beer and chips games?
Beer and pretzels.
Beer and pretzel games. So replayability, I'm going to give it a 4. Mm-hmm. I think it could even be a 5. It's amazing. And it's a little bit different each time. And everyone's doing something constantly, and so you don't get bored waiting for your turn.
That's true, which is nice.
And then co-op versus competitive, it's a little bit of both because you play on a team with somebody else. But it's a little bit like Time's Up. So it's your team against everyone else. So you're in a team of two, and there's usually three or four teams.
Yep. The game supports anywhere from 2 teams to 5 teams. And we played it at 3, 4, and 5 and had fun at all 3 levels. Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend playing it at 2. You wouldn't have enough shops.
It would be fairly. It would be limited. It would be. I mean, it's something I guess I'd try once, but 3, 4, and 5 seemed more like its sweet spot. I would agree.
So anyway, that's the basic introduction. It's I started with a really simple game. I would highly recommend it. It's actually my recommendation this week, as well as Ladies and Gentlemen. Again, the art's really cute and fun, and it's a really good game. And hopefully, this newer version of Katie's Corner lasts longer than the last one.
Well, the last one lasted almost a year. Like, you did it for a while.
Oh, I don't know. Don't move your caster too far up.
That's a professional callback right there.
All right, I'm done. Right. Unless you guys have other things to...
Well, it's Katie's Corner, so I'm not in any way contesting your scores, but I thought the strategic depth was more like a 2 or a 3 than a 1.
I don't think so. I think that you're comparing it to games that are just silly games.
Sure, but they still exist.
But they're not played by our group.
I would say it's between a 2 and a 3 myself. Probably not a 3.
Yeah, a 3 is reaching. Like if they released an expansion that made it like added some element, maybe a 3. But especially with like the gossip cards and stuff, I'd say it's a 2.
Yeah. Keith liked to dress in the pretty. Keith Hooks like the captain.
Oh,
he liked to dress in the prettiest things only. He was like going to the ball in 4-star shoes and nothing else.
I was Keith Starr's. I was Keith Hooks' husband. And Keith, you have very expensive taste. I was very disappointed because like you know, most of the ladies, they would go to the store and they'd pick out 2 or 3 things they liked, and you know, they'd fall somewhere in the $400 to $800 range. And you know, a man can make that sort of money. Every goddamn day, Keith would buy one item and it would cost $1,500 every day. Am I made of money? No. I couldn't afford half of his crap.
So, really,
sounds
he
like a first world problem.
He should have married up. See, he did not strategically choose his partner well.
I was buying nice stuff for my ladies.
You were buying nice stuff for your ladies.
Who was your lady?
No. Ben Lang.
That was a bad husband, so we lost that game.
Oh, that's right.
And then I was Jason's husband.
He was Jason's husband.
And then I made the money.
Legal gun.
So, no, the best part about Brian, though, is he's just, no, you can't buy anything today.
Yeah. His wife would be like, how did you do at work today, dear? Terrible. Don't buy anything. No one likes you.
Wow. First couple days, we won that game.
You did win that game.
Couple rounds were pretty bad. you couldn't have a sandwich.
You were not bringing much money home.
No.
The one thing I will say about this game is it does lend itself to too much table talk. Like, there was some, I think...
Excessive table talk.
Excessive table talk. Like, you're allowed to be like, I did really poorly today, or like, I... would really like these shoes would really match my dress.
Yeah.
But you can't be like, I need the shoes and the hat.
And I need you to make exactly $1,100. Like, you're not allowed to do
like,
that.
Like, people started to do shit like that. And that's not, like, that defeats the spirit of the game.
Because women don't understand money, so they should exactly. have any concept.
Yeah. Best rule is women are not allowed to touch the money.
They're not allowed to touch the money, and they shouldn't be allowed to see the money. One thing we came up with as a group is if we played it again and we had the opportunity, we would play at 2 different tables.
Well, women don't know what to do with money.
It's true. You can't trust them.
I like the... If somebody just cut into our podcast right now.
It sounded like it was taking place in the 1960s.
No, it was like the 1920s.
20s, okay. But anyway, is the men and the women should play at 2 different tables would be awesome. Because the interaction with your partner is such that you could yell it across the room, no problem. And it really is better if you can't see your husband's stack of money and stuff like that and can't, like, just count the contracts and be like, he's going to make about this much. Like, the idea is if you should, like, I think it would feed the flavor of the game more if the men and women were at 2 separate tables. One table for men, one table for women.
Obviously, the smaller table for the women.
Well, obviously.
The daintier table. That's how you phrase that.
But, yeah. So, it was. I would agree. It was really fun. And it definitely, I mean, to play it 4 times back-to-back at an event like Gen Con indicates it had pretty high replayability.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise we would have gotten another game out.
if, you know, I mean, if it was the fact that I was leaving the country and that we are just overwhelmed with from Gen Con, there are so many games I got from Gen Con that aren't going to be released for a while.
I know.
And like Board Game Geek is all, well, people are like, man, you guys should put some videos out of those games because, you know, no one has videos of those games.
That's true.
No one has those games. And I've been told by so many people we should need to make board game videos.
Yeah,
we should. We
have talked about it.
But it's so much work.
Yes.
We don't want to do it half-ass.
And the problem is you've got Will Wheaton and his group setting the bar really high for that sort of thing.
But the thing is, when they do that, though, their production is, I mean, they would, for a half-hour game, they'd spend 9 hours.
I'm aware, but I'm just saying,
the fact that
exists on the internet puts the bar so high.
I mean, there are people who do play. They do just use a one camera, and then they just do just a play of the game, and then it's not designed as a
entertainment.
It's like a rule. Like some of those games are designed to explain the rules, and some are designed like watch us play a game, and then there's learn how to play the game videos. There's a different category. You could watch us play something.
Sure.
And either A, you'd know it, so it makes sense to you, or B, you could pick up some things.
Or you'd be like, oh, that looks like fun. Now I want to learn about it or whatever. Yeah. But.
And you could always have like a short five minute beginning. Someone could go over some just core concepts and then just like figure out the other thing.
Yeah.
So, just leave us the games and we'll make videos without you.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well,
games
I mean,
we have Nathan.
Yeah. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Think of all the cool stuff we could do without Brian.
I always think about all the cool stuff I could be doing if Brian wasn't here.
So do I. And if I wasn't here right now, this would be a lot of fun. So how should we do this Gen Con recap? Day by day?
I like the day by day for Gen Con because we each don't have to sit here for an hour while one person talks.
Talks about the whole experience of Gen Con.
And to be fair, three of us were mostly together, so it's kind of a clump. Hump. I mean, we interact with Andy.
You just make Andy sad.
Well, I just turn it. Well, I don't work.
Point it out some more.
I don't work shifts at Gen Con.
Right.
Zero. And Andy works. I mean, he worked less, but I mean, because he works so many shifts, it does break it up. And
it does.
I actually had a day off, which was very odd for
that Gen is Con. Unusual for you at Gen Con.
Weird. Yeah. But anyway. I know. Whatever. Well, you guys get to talk about whatever you guys did.
So, Andy, why don't you start with your first day?
What was the most boring?
What was your Wednesday like? We have Wednesday stories even.
Oh, I can't talk about them because I feel like I would hurt feelings.
So you arrived, you made it to the city.
Yeah, we were there Wednesday evening. I think when we got there, like around 5 or 6 or so,
which is nice.
So I couldn't get my badge until Friday morning or Thursday morning, and
because the will call line was a mile long.
It wasn't will call; it was actually the press badge.
Oh, that one!
Are we
going
to get one next year?
It depends on how this episode goes. All right. So talk about things that you've seen at Gen Con.
Oh, don't worry, I will.
We tweeted. I mean, I put so much more on Facebook than I did Twitter. I didn't want to spam too bad on Twitter, but there was definitely a few.
Yeah,
posts here and there.
Yeah, we put up one of our videos. We only put up one. We've done some more at some War Machine cons than we did at this Gen Con. But Gen Con's just so hard to... It's so hard to capture Gen Con. Like, at War Machine, there's these natural downtimes at a War Machine Central Con.
Yep.
There's these downtimes between tournaments. And like, at Gen Con, it's just all go, no quit, 5 days, go.
Yeah, that was... I even brought over my podcast equipment because I thought I was going to get... Hey, you know, interview somebody, you know, get somebody together. But, you know, once the tournaments are done, the dealer hall closes, and you're off to dinner, after that, it's, you know, you try to find some place to hide until the next day.
Yeah. Recover.
Well, and if you, like, the problem, like, if you're like, oh, you just got to be in 5 minutes because I got to finish this one thing up. Well, it's like, well, I got something to do in those 5 minutes. And so then somebody else wanders off and it's hard to.
Like, pulling a group together is like herding cats at Gen Con.
Jeremy stopped to talk to one guy at the privateer
booth. I ran into Jay Larson at the privateer booth and lost both Katie and Brian.
And like, I looked around and like, Brian had already wandered off. And I was like, well, there was some stuff I wanted to look at too. And so like, I meandered off. And it's like.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and that was literally like I talked to Jay for maybe 2 minutes.
To be fair, all I had done is circle the booth. I was trying to find Private Press employees because of the whole pin exchange.
For the pins.
But I was definitely out of sight of
everybody. But I just looked around, like Jay left, I looked around and I was like, there were people here and now there aren't.
But it's easy to get distracted by all the shiny.
It is. The only thing I absolutely abhor is walking through the dealer hall. Just when you have, it's like back in like high school and grade school when you're trying to walk to your next class and the people in front of you just suddenly, we're going to stop and then right we're going to have a conversation immediately in front of you.
Yeah.
All the time.
Man, try following Katie through the vendor hall sometime. She's like this little hobbit who like sneaks through places where people don't fit.
Yeah.
And you're like, I see her way ahead. And I was like, I can knock people over. That's my option if I want to keep up.
We were at the Hyatt, right?
Yeah, we were at the Hyatt.
Yeah, by the way, the Hyatt was amazing. I'm going to try to stay at the Hyatt forever.
Yeah, the Hyatt was. Of the places that I saw for Gen Con, there are other places that have really nice lobbies or whatever, but the Hyatt, as far as a place to stay, was amazing.
I think I stayed at the Hyatt a couple of years ago. It was pretty solid. Yeah. The Marriott where we were at was literally just like hop, skip, and a jump away from the War Machine tournament area, which is pretty cool.
The only thing that I'm going to say negatively about the Hyatt is the water pressure in the shower was really poor.
It was very low pressure.
Yeah.
That's my only negative feedback.
I didn't mind that so much. But,
yeah. But no, I would have preferred more oomph.
Mm-hmm. So Wednesday for me, we left Madison at, I want to say 8. We had intended to leave a little earlier. There were some hiccups with dropping off doggy stuff because we have the two puppies now. So that added a little time. But we got out here right around 8.
I got to my place about 8:04. I wasn't counting time.
Was at all. Brian was like, I'm just going to walk. Fuck it. So
see, to be fair, pro tip, when you go to drop off your puppy and or meet someone, bring your phone.
Yeah. The person, Katie's phone was sitting here at home and I heard it go off and I went and looked and the message was like, hi, Katie, I'm going to be really late to work. So just leave the stuff there and I'll pick it up later. And I was like, she's not going to get that message because I have her phone. So that was a thing. But we got there with the time change and the driving and the eating on the way and everything. We got there like 3:30-ish?
Yeah, between 3:30.
There was a small hiccup with our room. We got into our room and then it turned out someone had reserved a block of rooms and they'd accidentally put us in the block. And so like these people walked in to say hi to their friends and it wasn't their friends. And they were like, So they moved us up a floor. But unfortunately, that was like the key like 30 seconds. Like Ben Lang was at will call while we were moving our stuff to the other room. And he got through will call in like 10 minutes. And we went immediately after that over to the will call line. And it was longer than the line to get on the Titanic. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
If anybody knows the layout of Gen Con, that line went from that area all the way back to the food court and further.
It was past the food court. I think it might have been when we looked past the entrance to Area C where the War Machine stuff was.
It was long.
So the nice thing is we know we can go whenever, so we always...
Yeah, so we didn't worry about it. We were just like, eh, screw it. So we played some games. Like we said, we played Ladies and Gentlemen. That's the highlights for me that day. I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to add.
Yeah, we played that all night, really.
Yeah.
Hung out with some cool people. Saw Ben Lang. That was our big
Ben Lang. Ben Lang was our Wednesday companion.
Oh, we tried out Ben Lang's game too.
Oh, Marvel Dice Masters.
Marvel Dice Masters, which he has.
That was fun. That was very fun. I enjoyed that one. It was the only thing. Like the problem with that Marvel Dice Masters is it's another one of those games where they're clearly releasing expansions all the time, and it is a fairly competitive game. Like people seem to take it pretty seriously, and I just don't have time in my life for
and
that.
And it's also collectible. It's not.
Yes.
The fact that it's you have to get rares and things. If that was like a living card game, I would be really. I mean, it's not cards, it's dice, but if it was like a
same idea.
Yeah, if it was a buy sets and play, I'd be really tempted to get it. But because it's,
I love that chase rare thing. Like it's actually something I legitimately enjoy. But like I just don't have time for it. But it was funny sitting there. He was teaching it to us, and literally a guy walked up and was like, "What rares do you have to trade?" Like just playing in a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
So that was.
But Ben has been talking about it a lot on Facebook, and it was pretty sweet. And I just watched you two play because we was just.
Yeah.
Easier that way.
And I mean, we obviously, it was just demo game. We just picked random characters. But, like, once I played one game, I saw where it could be very strategic. And, like.
Well, and something that Jeremy didn't realize when he was picking his characters, too, is even if it's, like, Gambit, there can be, like, 5 different Gambit cards. Like, they're not all the same.
Yeah. And I picked, like, bad copies of people. Like.
They weren't bad.
Your Deadpool was way better than my Deadpool.
Yeah, but I could never afford my Deadpool.
Well, there is that.
So, like, because I made the mistake of I didn't realize that the numbers, like, I should have had more lower numbers because I had all, like, 5s and 6s and 7s, and so it took me a while to be able to build up to the point where I could afford them.
Yeah.
And then I was so far behind.
But it was a really close. I beat you by, like, 2 points.
Well, I know, but I was so, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, if you'd gotten started earlier, you would have rolled me. You had very good characters. You had several that were dead weight in your set, just because they were all the same cost. But yeah, so Marvel Dice Masters was very cool. And yeah, I think that was really the only time we really hung out with Ben Lang. Like, we wanted, like, Ben Lang is somebody that, for those of you that know him from War Machine, like, he's not playing War Machine right now, so we don't see him as much. And so we were really excited to get to spend some time with him. And
we bumped into him here and there, but he was playing a lot of tournaments and meeting other friends. So, it was nice to get a good evening with him. And but yeah, that was basically Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
It was still pre-Gen Con day. We still managed the game. Oh, and we also met up with Jason and Josh came in.
Our roommates.
We also spent all the time.
We saw the captain and his wife.
Keith and his wife came in. They played. Yeah, so we probably played 6 or 7 hours of board games Wednesday night, which was a good start to the.
Yeah, that's always a good start. So how was your Thursday, Andy?
My Thursday was pretty cool. Before we get further into this, I would like to give something at the end of this, like a shout out to like a game that you played, or like the one random game that you picked up.
Isn't that going to be our recommendations?
Oh, well, not exactly recommendations, okay. But I mean, like when Brian and I usually go to Gen Con, we go on just like randomly pick out like what one game
that
is going to be your random Gen Con game. Like, I think the last one that was in Milwaukee, I think we picked up Zombies.
Yeah.
From Twilight Creations.
When Zombies 1 came out.
Yeah.
Which now is, you know,
a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I will be mentally trying to remember and think about that.
I have one game that I picked out, but I haven't even played it yet.
So Thursday.
It's Andy's turn.
Oh,
damn it, Brian.
What was your Thursday?
My Thursday consisted of I did the Zombies Keep Out demos. At the
you worked that was your big work at the day booth.
Yeah, that was one of my three work days. Zombies Keep Out demos at the booth, which was a lot of fun. And then I did which actually I enjoyed this more than doing demos. Did intro play for Zombies Keep Out, which is instead of just like giving you the big mishmash, you actually sit down and play the whole game.
Oh, a whole game of zombies? Wow.
Yeah,
I mean it's pretty fast, so that's doable. Yeah,
People over by the PP area when they were doing those level 7. That was a full game of level 7 versus in the hall was just like, you know, a 15-minute
like a demo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, generally they just give like what it is and what it does, and then that's it. Because they can't play that game in a demo capacity.
What did you do Thursday night?
Thursday night? I sadly do not remember. I think we went out. I went out with DC. And that was the time I started playing Werewolf.
Okay. It was Thursday night. All right.
It was Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night, or it might have been Friday night. I don't remember.
Gen Con Blur.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was my first experience with Werewolf. It was a little fun. I'd like to do more of it. We played with, like, a bunch of the other characters, like the little girl, which...
DC is a whole deck of the different cars and characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the Werewolf.
You know what... Little girl does in that. She can peek. She can peek when the werewolves wake up at night, so she can see. You know, see the werewolves kill somebody. But if she gets caught, then she gets killed.
Ah,
that's an intriguing.
That's
mechanic.
Kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and then there is the hunter who can kill somebody at the if they're killed by the werewolves, they can choose somebody at random and shoot them.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I'll definitely do it again.
Very cool. Do you want to? Take it away at Thursday, Brian?
Well, our Thursday morning all started the same. We all got up way too stupid early.
Way stupid early.
And we said, let's embrace the line. Let's go deal with the line shenanigans.
I forgot about one thing of mine. I sat in the line for the press badge for a good hour and a half.
You got in early because of it.
I did get in early. That's the other story, too. It's so I got in early, and I pretty much went immediately to the ILO games, the ones who make Kings of New York, and that was already gone.
Yeah,
and then I immediately went over to AEG. There's like a bunch of places I went to had games that are already sold out.
Yeah,
there's no way I can get games.
The VIGs, it was sold out before the VIGs even all got through.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, bring more supplies, especially like for King of New York. That was just so sad.
Well, they shouldn't have even announced it.
Yeah. Even if they announced it, it would have still been gone immediately every day.
Yeah.
But they need to bring more. You can't bring such a small supply when you have 40,000 people shuffling through to try to get a hold of... Try to get a hold of 100 copies.
Yeah, it is sad.
Yeah.
But it'll come out for reals at some point.
Yeah. I did. Somebody did pick up the expansion for it, though. They had like a little amusement expansion, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Anyway, sorry.
No, yeah. No, that's fine.
Well, because we set a line from 7 to 10, and then we basically, you guys went to PP directly. We went to PP directly. I went to go get Gale Force 9 up.
Yep.
We all, and which was, I mean, so we basically stayed for 3 hours and we all got to our booths right away. We all, yep. It was weird to be in and out. You were second in line.
I was second in line at the Privateer Press booth.
I watched that.
You did.
I was there for that.
He was.
I was trying to figure out if there's anything I wanted, and I'm like, no.
They started the open ceremonies for the door. Actually, normally they do like at 9:55 and make everyone wait like a few extra minutes, but they actually got started fairly early, so they opened the doors and people rushed in like, you know, like me. First day wasn't too bad, but we all got what we wanted. Which was nice.
I didn't get trampled. Katie didn't get trampled. That's the important thing.
I was third in line.
At PP booth, you were.
I just cut several people and said, that's my husband.
That's true. Yeah, like it was like I was second in line. Katie was probably like sixth or seventh in line. And she said, excuse me, that's my husband. And she just walked up and jumped in line next to me. And everyone was like, I don't know what to do about this. Okay.
Gotta be bold.
You guys have that knocked down then. You could do that all the time. Just whoever gets the first, like, oh, that's
my wife out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think I would have gotten away with it. I think I'd have gotten punched. Katie's cute and endearing, so she got away with it.
You just gotta be bold and not wait for permission.
Yeah.
That's how you cut a line.
They would not have given you permission, FYI.
You just gotta take it.
Well, to be fair, some of them, I mean, they knew they were so far in line. It wasn't like you were coming out of the blue and they were.
It wasn't
like
you came from 100 back. Like you were number 6 or whatever, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty funny. So I got one of everything, I think. All of it was claimed already by the time I went to go wait in line, I had requests for pretty much one of everything. And then I wanted to, like, I got two Nerfs for myself because I want to replace my Seraph with a plastic Seraph with the new sculpt. Because that Seraph, it's just, it looks cool, the Seraph I got from Marshall, but God, is it unplayable. Like, if there's even the smallest hill on the table, it's just like, thunk, I'm falling over.
Is that the one that he has, like, kind
of
like flying?
It's on an edge of the, it's like perched on one side of the base.
Yeah, like it's skimming the ground, flying.
Yeah. Like, I love it. It looks really cool, but it's just unplayable. So I picked up two of the plastic Nerf Seraphs. Humorously, one of my boxes is a mispack and only has the Nerf card,
which is
fine because I was going to use the Nerf card anyway, but the other one had both cards. So I know it's a mispack because, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, so that was interesting. But I got all my stuff. I got some pins. I've been bit a little bit by the pin bug. Not like terrible. Like I'm not trying to own every single pin, but like I am trying to get all the chase pins and I did not succeed. I missed two at Gen Con, which makes me sad, but...
What were the chase pins?
The chase pins for Gen Con were Purple Hair, Alt, Chibi Ashlyn, Black, not Resnick, but Black...
Black Morgul.
Black Morgul was one of them, and then the Black Krios were the three Gen Con chase pins.
Although there was the Purple girl, too.
The Purple Bather you could buy. The chase pins are the ones you can only get from PP Staffers.
Purple Legion, I don't know. I thought it was Legion model.
There was an Undead Saren.
There was an Undead Saren?
Yeah. I think there was.
I thought that was everywhere all the time. The one I
you
saw.
You son of a bitch!
you only wanted two pins, so I saw like the other.
I pin. Didn't know there was an undead. I didn't realize that one was out there.
There
damn
was
it!
Like that, but yeah,
I wish you know. Here's a request, Privateer. Please make a gigantic page that has every single pin you released, even if it's not available.
Just the chase pins, so we know what they are.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I have some extra pins I did not manage to trade away because I did not find Purple Hair at Chibi Ashlyn, and I did not find. I found Purple Hair Chibi Ashlyn 30 seconds after somebody had already after the PP staff had agreed to trade it to someone. They were like taking it off to hand it to them. And then I never did see a Black Krios on a PP staffer.
I saw a Black Krios, so not on a staffer.
I saw one that had already been picked up, but not on a staffer. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt your Thursday, Brian. But.
Well, no, I mean, you know, we were kind of doing the same roaming.
Yeah.
And really, I was kind of summarizing. I mean, we roamed the hall for 2 or 3 hours.
Yep. We dropped off our initial purchases and then went back.
They went back for 2 or 3 hours. Yep. Did about a quarter of the hall. We all realized we were. And actually, Gary Fool was with us for a huge part of Thursday.
Yeah.
Up until about 3 o'clock, we did the hall till 3. And then from 3 until 11 at night, we went over to the Embassy Suites and hung out with Tim and played a bunch of board games.
Yep.
Did we play Terra Mystica and Zolkin on Thursday?
I taught Tim and Rick Zolkin. You guys played Dominant Species.
With Jackie.
Then we all played Terra Mystica together. I feel like we played another game in there. Oh, he taught us Nanook.
Nanook we played on Thursday.
Which is just a quick little game. I feel like there may have even been one more. Oh, we played a game of Smash Up. The game of Smash Up. That's what the other one was.
I mean, it was basically 7 hours of
Yeah, I mean, we just gamed like, whoa. But it was really fun. I learned that Brian makes explaining games very simple. And I am not as good at it. I did an okay job explaining Tolkien to Tim and Rick. But I just was shocked at how not prepared I was to explain that game. Like, it's something that it requires thought, and Brian definitely puts the thought in, and I don't.
Well, I've been explaining, you know, basically it's me or Nathan are ones who explain games for the most part.
Yeah, like always. Yeah. Like, I never do that. But they were playing the other game and teaching Jackie Dominant Species, so, like.
Sure. Did you have any highlights from Thursday, Katie? Otherwise, we...
No, Jackie did a really good job picking up on Dominant. Sorry if my voice sounds like it's getting in and out. I'm watching to make sure my puppy doesn't pee in the house. She did a really good job picking it up.
Yeah, she got second, right?
She got second. Yeah. It was with the game was within a point. It was really good. It was really
Yeah, that one species I'd say is one of our most advanced games because it's both worker placement and area control. Yep. And some people really get confused for it. I mean, you'll maybe play seven turns, but the first two turns are basically wasted. And she caught on really fast. So. Yeah.
No, I'd agree.
I don't know. How was your Friday, Andy?
My Friday was pretty decent. We went to Masters.
Masters?
All three of us went
Masters to Masters. The Masters qualifier.
Clarify. The prelims.
Yeah. The prelims.
Yeah. Did you guys complete?
I'll save that, but I was not around till the very end. No.
I went and I took three lists of mine. I took my Durgan Galleon list. I took my Gorton Earthbreaker list. And then I took my Cephalix because I figured, you know, hey, why not? Nobody knows how to play against these guys.
It's true.
My first match, I ended up taking on Grim 2. I'm gonna skip on all names here. Actually, except for the first one, it was one of our Australian listeners. It was Greg. He was really cool. Grim 2 versus my three Earthbreaker list. Sorry.
And you almost went to time. I saw the tail end of that game.
Yeah.
How you managed to go to almost time with four models, Andy?
Well, you know, he had a lot of stuff for me to kill.
He did have a lot
of stuff. And I did kill a lot of his stuff.
Like,
it came down to the very end where I had Durgan hiding in a trench. Not Durgan, but Gorton hiding in a trench. He had some things with line of sight. I ended up moving both Earthbreakers so he could no longer see Gorton. And then he was running over onto my right-hand side to try to get an angle to get in the last remaining shot, and just moved a little bit too close, so knocked down with the Earthbreaker. He had the Tail of Mists up, which gives him Fading Death when he's knocked down, so he was like, oh, you can't hurt me. And I'm like, well, okay, my Earthbreaker charges.
Yeah, and then you die.
And then he died. My second round, I ended up taking on a Kator player. I just made some bad positioning. I lost Durgan in the first turn.
Ooh.
Or first, second turn is when I lost.
Okay. Still bad, but yeah.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was balance of power. In fact, I had an entire forest blocking all line of sight to me. Yeah. Except for an eight of like a sliver over on the right-hand side. And I had inhospitable ground up, so he couldn't actually charge over it. But I was 6.5 inches away from where Beasto 9 could be delivered.
Oops.
So that sliver of line of sight with that literally sliver of 6.5 inches.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Ouch.
My third game, I ended up taking on somebody with Meat Mountain. And if everybody knows what Meat Mountain is, it's a horrible, horrible Gristle 2 list. I took it on with my Cephalix and actually beat her.
Nice.
Which it was my feather in my cap for the weekend.
Seems like your feet would be good against Meat Mountain. It's just a lock that gets D-line, but the champions are D-line champions too, so it does help to pull them apart.
So it helps out with that, but I was able to hit him with so many, you know, sprays. I was just able to plink those warders to death. I was excited that I actually beat Meat Mountain with the Cephalix. He didn't actually cast inhospitable ground except for the first turn. But all the rounds after that, we were already engaging or very close to
really matter,
engaging, so it didn't really matter that much.
Because that is one of Cephalux's big weaknesses, is lack of Pathfinders.
Yes. I'm hoping that they'll have some type of motivator in the future. But then after that, just kind of hung out, played a bunch of small little games, played a lot of Epic Spell Wars, nice. One of the Battle Wizards duels at Mount Skullsfire,
which is a great game. Yeah, I saw you guys playing that.
But you had King of Tokyo, too, I saw.
Yeah, I had that. That was probably Saturday. I know I had bunch of games out. Some of the small card games. But yeah, cool. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I actually forgot something back on Thursday that's very important, is we went to the RAM for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Which was super fun.
You know, I find it's best if you want to steal something that you announce it.
What was the monstrosity called?
Oh, the Lich Lord.
You have a menu.
Yeah, I have it, but it's not here.
It's not here. Bring it with me. It was like Lich Lord Cheese Stixius. Lich Lord Cheese Stixius.
Yeah.
Brian ordered it just because he liked the name. Yeah. But I got the Blighted Bather t-shirt because I thought it was pretty cool. And not to let everybody steal our tech, but the best time to go to the
RAM.
Thank you. Is 11 a.m. Thursday. They open at 11. Be there. You'll get a table. It'll be great. And you don't have to deal with like the hordes that are there the rest of the week.
Seems like Thursday during the day would be the best time.
But 11 was perfect. Like we literally finished up in the vendor hall, went there for lunch, and it was perfect.
Nice.
Could not have worked out better.
It was pretty good.
So
and they were starting to get busy as we left.
Yeah, when we left, they were already starting to get packed. It was. So do you want to talk about your Friday, Katie? Do you want one of us to go first?
Well, my favorite part of Friday is we played a new game. It was called Village, and so Jackie and Keith were playing with us, and
Keith is our tagger. Every day we had someone new.
Yeah.
And we basically spent, because he qualified in the first heat.
Yep.
So he stayed the night with us at the embassy and gamed a lot.
Yeah, Keith Christensen and Jackie.
And so Jackie bought a new game. She wants to play it, obviously, because you just bought this game, and you're like, well, have you read the rules? And she's like, yeah, for the most part I have. And then we get to go play it. And she says, here you go, Brian.
She literally just hands him the rule book. And he's like, well, how much do you know? She's like, well, I think people die and you get points. That was all she knew about the game.
Best thing in the world. It was... You made one of the best faces I've ever seen.
Well, there's a lot of shock involved in that. I mean, she had respect enough to give me the book. Well, you know, you can handle this. You know, I have to give credit for that. But yeah. So you guys basically punched the game out while I sped read the book. And then the game, the end result was it's actually a really good game. But yeah. It has a lot of, it's kind of worker placement, but there was a lot of elements that had like time. Like time was a resource. So as you use time, your people's died. So you had to manage what you wanted them to die in certain areas. So there's all this, like, you know. So I'm trying to read a game that, worker placement, but I'm reading this game with this new mechanic, so it's, you know, slowing me down a little bit. So I would read two pages worth of stuff, and then we would just kind of go on. But it worked out really well, and the game was. I mean, I bought the game the next day, so I mean, that shows you that I liked it.
Yeah.
And it was $30.
It's still going to be the most memorable thing from.
Oh, that was crazy. That was a funny Friday moment. Friday.
Yeah. Brian, I got a new game. Do you want to play it?
It's just... But,
Well, and look on Keith's face, too, because he knew what Jackie just did.
Yeah.
And she, like, you know, had no clue.
Yeah, she was just like, oh, this is fine.
She doesn't know
Brian.
And Keith
looks at Brian, and he's like, I'm going to just inch away from Jackie a little bit.
It was great.
We did play a game of Smash Up before that Keith won. He played zombies because they're like
zombie bears.
Bears.
And I guess Keith's only played Smash Up like once before.
So yeah, like he didn't like. I'm not saying he cheesed out, but like zombies are just so good. And zombie bears were amazing.
Bears are really good.
Yeah,
ghosts would be really good too.
And you also have Friday because we were playing War Machine. So I'm not sure what you did for the morning part. You did the hall.
Jackie and I walked the hall. I got an expansion ticket to ride, two expansion tickets to ride, and Copernica, not Copernica, Cornucopia. I don't know. Another game that starts with a C. And
I'll go grab it.
Yeah. Well, I was at like the discount booth, and I had a game, and I got up there, and I asked the guy. I said, "These are the games that I like. Based on that, do you think that I'll like this game?" And he goes, "Well, I actually think that you would like this game a lot better." And so, whatever this game is called, it's not my. I don't know. It's what. I don't know.
Well, you mentioned like Terra Mystica and Dominant Species, and he's like, "Well, here's a game. If you like those games, you like this game." So, yeah. if the guy is good at what he was doing, I mean, that's
Got used card salesman.
Well, no, because he actually the game he recommended was $20 cheaper than the game I had in my hand.
Oh,
so I think he was just legitimately giving me his advice. I don't know. It's got a woman with a basket on her head.
I literally can't find it. I don't know where it wound up.
And it has to the sea. That's fine.
Okay.
My Friday's quick. Obviously, the evening was the same as everyone we board gamed. Was Friday or Saturday the Chipotle incident? Oh, Friday was
Chipotle. Friday was the Chipotle incident.
So
wait, what?
Well, I'll bring that up in a... I played Masters round one. I take on Felix from Chicago. He is playing Madrick 2. I kept calling him Borka. And I was playing Zal. And the game was going crazy. I was feeling rushed. I mean, it was trolls, and it's just I'm never happy against playing trolls. I've been just always feeling they're going to kill me. And basically, the field was basically the army was both armies were wiped out, and I got to live the dream of a last stand defeated Zal, killing an opponent's caster. So that was cool. And then round two, I lost. I don't even remember the game. I played someone with models.
That's good.
It may have been Kador or Menoth or Mercs or Legion or not Krix. Oh, no, it was Krix. It was Gorshade 3.
Okay.
It was Gorshade 3 versus Mordekaiser because I was sad.
That's right.
I did not have the... I had realized that my Mordekaiser list that I really wanted to play that was built for Krix, I had left a couple key models at home. So I just threw some random models together on my Mordekaiser list. But it was a very close game. I mean, we were both done like less than 10 minutes on our death clock when he was finally able to kill me. But and then I dropped because I didn't care about going. I mean, I just wouldn't play board games with Katie all night. You came along for a little while. Because,
yeah, I came along for a little bit.
But so the one incident with the Chipotle is we get there. Keith and Jackie are there. And we get there first, I think, and they show up. And we're finishing up some other game. And I'm like, well, we were finishing up Terra Mystica, I think, or something. And we're like, well, we'll play another game with you guys. But it'll be like 15 minutes. And they said, well, we're going to go get food. I'm like, well, if you're going to get food... The day before they ate Chipotle, and I really wanted that. So I'm like, well, here's, you know, some money. Give me some, you know, Chipotle food. They get back and I eat it. And then, you know, because I was really hungry. Of course, I've been spending the day with Katie, so neither of us had lunch. I never considered that she might want food. So like 6 hours later, we're back at the...
Wait, no, I want to fill in the rest. So like, I'm hungry, and I'm wondering why nobody else is hungry.
Because she didn't notice them going to get the food eating the food.
I knew that Jackie and Keith got food. And I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. But then, like, I was like, man.
Chad and his wife is who else we were with.
Chad and his wife was with Chad and Lauren. And so I went down to the little concession stand and got, like, Chex Mix. And I got myself something to drink. And I was like, you know, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to get Brian a little bottle of water. He's been explaining games. His voice is going a little bit. I'm a good friend.
She was. I was
thinking about him. And then the favor was not returned.
Well, you got me the water first, but man, that was really nice of Kitty for the water. Plus, it's going to wash in my Chipotle. That much better. But I really needed the water. I was like, wow, that was really nice of her.
Yeah.
So like 5 hours later, I'm like, yeah. Because she's like, oh, I was really hungry. I'm like, yeah, that Chipotle helped. Like, what fucking Chipotle?
I wish I'd been there for that.
Well, no, the best part, I was like, well, I'm really angry at you about that. And like, I'm going to get you back. And then Brian goes, no, you never remember.
Now, challenge accepted.
Evidently, the one way to tell Katie she forgets things a lot is to tell her she won't remember. Then she's like, it sears it into there. So I was like, oops.
So they got back to the room, and then Katie just turned on the TV loudly.
No, I asked permission from the rest of
the rest of the room.
Well, those guys were up playing a card game anyway. People were up. It wasn't like there was just Katie turning the TV on to be sleeping.
But Brian was not wanting to stay awake.
No, he wasn't.
And so he left the room.
So I went down to the hall. Well, I went down to the hall because you were still...
Yeah, I was still down there. It was like 11 or 11:30.
Yeah, because my lap deal overlapped with you. And that's where you were playing. You were playing King of Tokyo.
Yeah, I saw you playing King of Tokyo that night.
Was that Friday?
Yeah, that was late Friday night.
Gen Con is like probably 10 or so little mini food courts scattered about. Well, but after, you know, that 8 o'clock, there's one in the vendor hall. Mm-hmm. There's people online, and they were out of everything. People couldn't get like pretzels with salt, and people were getting cold pretzels, and they're like, well, I'll take 40 minutes to eat a pretzels, and they couldn't find food, and they ran out of hot dogs. People were like, we just need something to eat. People are so hungry, they didn't want to leave the hall.
Yeah.
And the poor staff was just trying to find food anywhere they could find to serve people.
And Brian got me a soda very nicely.
I did get him a soda.
Huh.
To be fair, I had to ask him to get me a soda. I had to notice that it was a thing he was going to do.
I'm just saying, you're looking out for one of the Shays.
Chuck asked
for soda, and Brian was like, okay, I'll get you a soda, Chuck. And I said, Brian, get me a soda too. And Brian just had this sad look on his face.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, the other thing is, while Brian was gone, I sat there and I thought for a moment. I was like, next time you anger me, I already have a plot.
She did tell me the next morning that she has a plot all prepared.
I told him what it was, too. He thought it was pretty good.
don't know that I want to get involved and have an opinion about the plot.
Oh. So you get involved when Brian isn't here.
The problem is that
you think it's a good idea.
But it's going to be a pre-planned plot, which means if she does something, then I have to escalate to the next level. And then it's
you have to make me angry first. So as of right now, we're even.
This could escalate badly, Andy. So my Friday was pretty much all War Machine. Not completely, but I played in both of the Masters qualifier heats. In the first qualifier heat, my first round, I dropped Pythagoras, and I actually managed to win via death clock an attrition game on Incursion versus a Lucant list, which is not something that ever happens. But he had two units of the medium-based infantry, and I just jammed them with my war spears. And then the fact that I get to bring my beast back and he doesn't just won me the attrition battle. I pretty much just stayed away from him on his armor feat turn, and then the game just went my way. My second round, I played a balance. It was on balance of power. I dropped Saren because I drew a Menoth player, and Thagrosh is usually my Menoth drop. And I was like, well, shit. He still had Ephiora open. I was like, well, I'm not dropping Evail. Like, that's just going to go badly. So I dropped Saren, and I tried to make that work. And he had, like, I don't want to take anything away. He was a good player, but he had the most ridiculous dice. Top of one, he lit Saren on fire with Adjudicator. It walked forward. It shot at something completely. It wasn't even like straight line at Saren. It shot at one of my Death Stalkers way off to the side. It drifted 6 inches to the five, and then it drifted 6 inches to the one or the five.
The secondary shot?
Yeah, the secondary drift drifted also exactly enough inches. And we were like measuring it, and it's like, yep, you just clipped Saren. I'm immune to the blast damage, but I'm on fire. Didn't go out the whole game. He then rolled like 11, 10, 7 on the damage rolls at Dice Off 2. He basically took out half of a beast through fire damage.
Are you sure you weren't accidentally playing against Andy?
That's what I said. It felt like playing against Andy Dice. On my feet turn, he was like not going to kill anything, and then his zealots walked up and took half a beast off the table. Three zealots. Then he had lit one Angelius on fire, and it had like, what did it have? It had seven boxes left. And so I was like, it's fine that it's on fire and it can't go out because it's a dice off five. I've got seven boxes. Boxcars, Dead Angel, doesn't get to respawn. Like, that's how that game went. It was just ridiculous.
Because respawn only activates
enemy attacks. Yeah. Yep. So it was just, like, I couldn't do anything. It just wasn't working. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get it anyway. So I dropped. I went and hung out with these guys for the afternoon. We played some games. I played Smash Up, but I did not play Village because while they were reading rule books and everything, like there just wasn't going to be time. So I just hung out and chatted with them, and then I went back to the hall for the second round. In the second heat, I played Tom McLaughlin, who's semi-local to us.
He's from Milwaukee, or Chicago.
He is now. He was one of the DeKalb guys, though. He used to be. He's going to school in Chicago now, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, he was a little out of practice with his cricks, and he had not played against Legion in a long time, and I had Saren. So that game went well for me. Then round two, sorry, I've got my notebook of notes here that everyone enjoys so much. Round two, I played against a guy I'd never played before, Brian Lugers, and I threw the game away. I had a complete brain fart. I moved up with Evail behind a wall against a Peace Scar force, and I picked up an entire unit of Texas Raiders. I left like two alive on the first turn, and all my guys were back and admonitioned, and I was in great shape. And then he proceeded to kill like three Legionnaires, move one Angelius. Like, I admonitioned one Angelius, but I couldn't have moved it the way I needed to because he had blocked its path first. Then he like light calved out of the way, and a three soul or three corpse incorporeal, scar-feeded, dark-guidanced Krix battle engine charged Vale and just ate her right over the wall.
Wraith engines are actually pretty solid.
When you get three souls on it, and he needed tens to hit, but with dark guidance, it's not that bad. Nope. He was dice plus eight.
Yep.
Like, I had three transfers, but he had five attacks, and I just died. Like, he hit, I transferred, he hit, I transferred, he missed, he hit, I transferred, he hit, and one-shotted. Dice plus eight's pretty good.
Yeah, they're really awesome.
So,
especially if they have dark shroud naturally.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, that's why the dice plus eight.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. So I stuck around though because there was going to be like three or four X and ones we're going to get in. I think it wound up being three. So I went ahead and stuck around. I got the pair up round three. I played against Scott Ray from Chain Attack.
Yep.
who had never played before. My only chain attack game was I played Jay Larson back at Adepticon. Mm-hmm. So Scott Ray and I played on Balance of Power. He had not slept in quite some time. He is very hyper when he's tired. Like, he was downright twitchy. It was kind of hilarious. But he played Peace Guard again. So I played Legion versus Crix 3 games in a row after burning my Crix drop round one. So I was forced into playing Pythagrosh versus Peace Guard.
Oh,
which is not a matchup I'm excited about, for the record.
Yeah.
It's just not. Like,
yeah, at least it wasn't Iskar.
Yeah, I guess. It was not good. Yeah. It was not good. So he was running a slightly different list than I've seen before, with Iakos running a Kraken with Piscar.
Okay.
I just hadn't seen that before. And he managed to RFP my Scything with the Kraken the turn before I really did anything. So Pythagoras couldn't bring it back. I put a bunch of damage. He had the Scar Feet up. Even under Scar's Feet, I did like 2/3 of the damage of the Kraken. But I was like, well, now he's just going to eat my Carny and I'm going to die and I'll lose the game. And he went at the start of his turn, he measured Iakos' control area and he was a 3/4 inch out.
No! Oh.
So he couldn't put... He had one soul or one corpse from having eaten my Scythian.
Yeah.
So he had one focus. He had mechanics there, so he was able to repair the arm that I'd broken. But I had Thagrosh there. I had Spiny Growth up. So it was like dice off 4. And it was, he just couldn't do anything. Like, he just, without being fully loaded, he couldn't do anything. So he then, from that point on, proceeded to not kill like another model of mine. I picked up the Kraken. I picked up his Soul Hunters. Like, and then... I did wind up killing Scar as well, with like a Ravagor shot or something like that.
Nice. So you and I were in both of our heats. We both played the Peardown at the final round.
Yes. And so I was like, I played the Peardown.
Yeah.
My round one opponent stuck around. Tom McLaughlin wanted to play it out.
Yeah.
So he won his second round. I was like, this is looking really good. If he dropped for round 3, he was tired. And so he decided not to play the third round. If he had stuck around, I looked, and I would have definitely been in. But because he dropped, and my round 2 opponent lost round 3 as well, I wound up being on the bubble. I was number 10 out of 8 that qualified.
You were, if... Because I was the ones filling out Masters on Sunday. You would have been in. We had 2 people that were...
Yep, and I would have been the second one in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt the same thing, too. Right after I got done with my game, I'm like, wow. So I beat the Peardown. My second round opponent, I think he won at least 2 games when I took on him, and my first round opponent went 0.
Yeah,
so
I had a really good time. It was really cool playing as Scott. I mean, obviously I've met the Chain Attack guys before. I still have to play my game against Trevor at some point because apparently
what's the Crippled System versus Chain Attack overall record now?
Well, I am now 2-0 personally, so I don't know how you guys have done
them. I've never faced
them. I am undefeated against Chain
Crippled
Attack.
System is undefeated.
So I'm going to throw the gauntlet down and say that clearly Crippled System is the better podcast. Clearly we just have the more competitive players.
That's why we're sponsored.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that all wrapped up around like 2:30. Brian had come in around 11:30. He'd already long since gone back to the room and gone to bed. And I at this point have had like tons of caffeine. 2:30 in the morning, like I'm almost visibly twitching. I felt a little bit like Scott. And so I was like, I could just stay up. Just all nighter, this bad boy.
That sounds like a bad.
Like I was like, I'll just buy some Iron Arena. I'll buy into Iron Arena, and I'll just play some Iron Arena games. And I'll just when they get up in the morning, and then I realized that for work, I had to be up at 8 in the morning for work to do server maintenance because I'm the one that maintains a specific server, and they limit logins. And there was maintenance that I'd agreed to do Saturday morning at eight in the morning. So that's a thing. So I was like, oh, crap. So I went home, and I went back to the hotel, and I went to bed. And I woke up the next morning, and it was terrible. But
you had to log into work?
I had to log for like 2 hours.
Yeah, I'd terrible. Have to do that at a convention, too.
So
it sucks.
Had I not had to work the next morning, I would have just pulled an all-nighter. It was definitely I was definitely in the zone to pull an all-nighter, and just I had to bail because of work. So.
So, Katie, how was hanging out with Chad and his wife? Because they came after I left because they
weren't there when I left.
I chatted, but then the way we had enough people to break them into enough games that only you got to hang out with them as much as far as play a game with them.
Yeah, Chad picked up on the game right away. Lauren, I don't think she has much foundation for games as he did, but she was starting to pick up on it in the end. And I think as she played again, she would see some of the things that she missed. So, like, I helped her get largest city or tie for largest city, and she just didn't have the experience from previous games to be like, well, I need to do this, this, and this, and this in this order in order to get largest city or even have a chance at it. just because she was, I mean, there's so much in Terra Mystica, and if you're not familiar with board games, but Chad picked up on it real quick.
It was fun, though.
Yeah, I mean.
And you never really hung out with Chad and his wife. Well, you hung out with Chad, but never his wife, right?
Yep, and she's really cool. I really
I like her. I've met her a couple of times now. She's fun.
Yeah, she's usually down at the game store, too, for a little bit.
I think
I usually see her at conventions. So she works at the front desk at Lock
and Load. Like, I saw her at Lock and Load, I'm pretty sure.
She's very good at collecting pins.
Yeah, she's, like, big into the pins. I think she was the one that had the pins.
Slightly.
She had the purple hair.
Yeah.
And then
I was jealous. She had purple hair, Ashlyn.
She had all of them.
She had all the pins. She has every pin. Yeah. At Lock and Load, she was wearing two lanyards. Like, that's how many pins she has.
But she also does a lot of painting, is my understanding.
Yep. So. Yep. She's apparently very good. Chad, he didn't enter anything at Gen Con.
He made Masters as well.
Yeah, he did make Masters as well. That's true. He qualified in the first heat, obviously, since he wasn't there with me that night. But
I just know that he was complaining because he was locked into Emorvana. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah.
Like,
darn. Tough life.
You have bad problems.
First world problems.
That comes to Saturday. How was your Saturday, Andy?
My Saturday. I did the tournament for Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I believe you. I wasn't there Saturday.
Sure.
I ran that tournament. yeah. That's honestly all I really remember. It was a lot of days going through there. My Saturday... Oh, yes. Hold on. My Saturday night, actually. So I got done with Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I hung out with a bunch of guys. We played some more Epic Spell Wars. And then we decided we'd go to eat at Granite City.
Okay.
Granite City, you know, it's a steak, burger, you know, pizza place.
Yeah.
It's kind of a everything. Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
I've always had bad experiences at Granite City.
Oh, I love Granite City.
And this will add to that.
Oh, that's
I've only ever enjoyed their Sunday morning buffet. Otherwise, I've never enjoyed it either.
Yeah. Really? It's been horrible. So we went there, and obviously we have to wait a couple hours. We had to wait an hour to get in. This is right before the press ganger party.
Oh, jeez.
So there is a preacher on the side of right next to Granite City with a giant megaphone just telling about everybody who plays video games is going to hell and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. And finally, we end up getting him to move. So we sat there for about an hour. We get inside, take orders. I just ate a sub. So at Subway, and I wasn't really that hungry. I was just going to go and hang out with the guys and have dessert.
Yeah.
And so all I wanted was fucking chocolate cake. I wanted a slice of chocolate cake. The menu they gave us didn't have any desserts on it, but they had the crazy, like, the gamer menu that just had chocolate cake, and that was the only dessert.
Sure.
And I'm like, fuck it. I want chocolate cake. So then we wait for an hour and a half before they finally bring us out our food. 5 minutes before they bring us out our food, the waitress comes by and says, I'm so sorry this took so long, but you got the last of the chocolate cake. And I'm like, awesome. This is great. Manager comes out 5 minutes later and says, man, I'm so sorry. There's no more chocolate cake. It took that place an hour and a half to figure out that didn't have enough chocolate cake for me.
That's rough.
You should have had him just bring it out immediately.
That's kind of what I thought they would do. I thought they would bring it out with the appetizers or something like that. I probably should have said that, but that's not to say that Chuck's food, his steak was okay from what he had said, but he had those like yam fries, whatever they...
Sweet potato fries, I think they do there.
Fucking yam fries? That's what I call them.
Okay.
Horrible. But he had those, and those were like ice cold.
Ugh.
Jason Watt was there with Tulsi. They had like almost like a frozen pizza. They took it out, cooked it, and then they just left it in the freezer for the rest of the night.
They should, at some point you need to just turn people away. Like, it's either they're going to have a bad experience and then go on to write terrible reviews about your restaurant, or you turn them away.
But so they brought them out like a really cold pizza though. Literally 10 minutes later, they had another one for them. That was piping hot in a box.
I don't understand that either.
If they didn't have time to make the original one, or if they had to wait for everybody else's food.
Some other people had to wait an hour and a half, and we're sorry, sir, we're out of pizza.
Yeah.
they took their pizza and just gave it to us.
Like, I don't understand why it shouldn't take an hour and a half. At some point, you have to just realize you're over capacity.
Yeah. It was, and the manager's like, is there anything you do for you? And You know, I'm not one of those.
Go to the Ram and give me some of their cake.
Yeah, give me some chocolate cake.
I'm not one of the type of people that really complains at all, and I'm not one to make like outrageous demands. But all I else had on the menu that I ordered was a soda. And I'm like, just fuck, take care of my bill, and I'll go.
Yeah. Well, if you only had a soda, you're asking them to take care of like $2.50 or
$3.50, right? Yeah. So I mean, they were out of somebody. You know, I'm giving them bad press now, but
yeah,
that really sucked. That was unfortunate.
That
was the only bad experience I really had all weekend, besides the wait line for the press badge.
Well, right,
and that's just normal.
But. Yeah, that's Gen Con.
And then went back and we played more of Zombies.
Well, you went to the PG party then.
And you went to the PG party that night too, right?
Yep. Well, I went to the PG party late, so I missed everything that was happening normally. So I missed the raffle, and I got to hang out with folks there, and you know,
I got there literally in the last 15 minutes, instead of 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I think you got there like a minute before they called. Like everyone has to go.
Yep.
Yeah,
they were like last call, and it's like, oh, we just walked in.
We timed that perfectly.
Yeah. Then we went down. I played a new. It's a game that's made by the same folks that do Resistance. It was like a dice game, kind of like. Zombies, not the zombies, but the one that Steve Jackson has, Zombie Dice.
Okay,
it's similar to Zombie Dice, but your guys that hunt dragons.
Hmm.
So you have dice of dragons, and you have a dice of hunters, and you roll them all together. And if you're able to kill the head, body, and tail, then you get to kill a dragon. If he does damage to you, then you lose dice, and then you kind of try to press your luck to try to get as much points as you can.
I haven't seen that one.
It was $5. I tried to find it afterwards, but they were sold out.
That is too bad.
And then DC trounced us in
Werewolf.
In a King of Tokyo. He had a ridiculous monster. I had a two-headed Pandaren Pandakai, so I was twice as cute. Nice. That was my Saturday.
So mostly good.
Yeah, we're rolling on time.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to be doing Zappity Grumbles, but we'll wrap up Gen Con at least.
On my Saturday, I got to play Caverna, which was exciting.
That was very fun. With the captain and his wife.
With the captain and his wife. Jen, by the way, is amazing.
Yes. She was very fun.
Yeah. I don't know how the captain captured that woman.
I don't know. I mean, to be fair, people say the same thing to me about you, like all the time. So I feel your pain, Keith.
So I don't get you nowhere.
I have to say this though, because I'm friends with the captain as well, but their kids are ridiculously cute.
That is true.
I have seen cuter kids.
That is true. They have cute kids.
Are you saying you've seen cuter kids?
Yeah. Keith's jeans bring them down a notch.
Not wrong. But anyway, we got to play Caverna. That was really fun. I got to watch a little bit of How to Train Your Dragon. I didn't get to finish it. That made me sad.
Well, I mean, Cassetta, you were. Jeremy was in the hotel from about 8 to noon. We went down to the hall. And Saturday is crazy. I mean, every day is cosplay day at Gen Con nowadays, but Saturday is like magnified by 50.
Yeah.
So I did more shots. I would walk the halls and I would blink out and I would have another game I purchased in my hand and I didn't know how it got there. But I spent a lot of time Saturday morning in the halls, and then I separated because I needed an hour alone time. You guys went off to do your thing. I went off to wander halls, and I chatted with vendors, and then we came back, went back to the hall, and then we went board games.
I fought Fool.
You did? Oh, yes. Sword fought Fool.
Which was that recorded?
Brian posted it.
I put it on my Facebook page. We can get it somewhere else. I got it online. You had your annual Fool fight.
Well, we'll have to get it up on YouTube as well, but we haven't yet.
It was Saturday was rough because that... People, I've been inviting people to game with us all weekend, and a few of them did, but Saturday, more people had free time. We had specifically reserved time for Keith and his wife, so we basically, I like, turned people away. I'm like, too bad.
Yeah, we had to turn several people away, which you always feel bad about, but we had plans.
We played Caverna, which was amazing. I mean,
and the captain was funny, because he was like, yeah, no, I understand the rules, but he had also only read, like, 60% of the rule book, and he had been drinking, and so he just, like, mishmashed rules together.
And I had some voice issues on Saturday,
so I had to explain it. And as previously discussed, I'm not the best at that.
So we'd be going along and playing, and then, like, in the middle, it'd be like, oh, no, that's not how this rule works. And
happened.
And I think the quote, Katie's quote's most accurate. It's like Agricola, but fun.
Yeah. Yes, that is. It is Agricola, but fun.
Well, it sounds like
fun.
I might want to play it, then.
It is very fun. And the best thing... possibly the best thing that happened all weekend happened during the game of Caverna.
Oh yeah. We all learned how Brian smells.
Yeah, we're playing the game, and I'm sitting next to Jen, and I lean over, and she's like,
She said, I'm really enjoying when you reach across to get the stuff on this side of the table, because you smell so good.
Which I basically froze like a deer in headlights.
I was like, what do I do now?
Well, I'm thinking, man, what's my deodorant? I went shopping, by the way. I went shopping today. I made sure I got the... Because, I mean, I always get... I don't ever buy this. I very rarely buy the same deodorant. I just get deodorant, you know, for men.
Yeah.
And I just buy a whatever it's on the shelf. I grab a whatever random for men deodorant. But I had to specifically see what I had to buy the exact... I need to duplicate...
What we can learn here is that if you compliment a guy on how he smells, he will then you'll change his shopping habits in the future.
Well, the best part was, so then the rest of the game, every time it was Keith's turn, he'd stand up and he'd go like lean over Jen and like put an arm around her as he's like taking his move.
Well, and he would like bury his nose into Brian's neck. It was
yeah, he was trying to smell me. It was very unusual.
I think that they would have been open to a threesome with you.
By the way, Keith, I was not texting and driving. I was chatting because I was in the back seat on the way back home. I kept chatting with Keith, and for some reason they thought I was driving because
usually drive,
and they told him I was.
Well, you said you were driving.
Yeah, with your feet. Yeah, so I have to clarify, I was not actually texting.
That's true. Katie was our driver. She was an all-star on the drive back.
Yeah, but Saturday was basically a haul. I mean, so many days of the haul.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, Caverna. It was a very long game of Caverna because it was five of us in the first time, and it took a few hours, but the next, now that we know what we're doing, it was so much faster.
Well, when I went to go buy it, I looked at the box, and it was like 30 minutes to 90 minutes, and I was...
That's just a blatant lie.
It took us longer than that.
I mean, maybe for the two-player game. The one great thing about Caverna is you can play it one player as well, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was basically that. I mean, like I said, I had to work in the morning, so I missed out a little bit. But then I got to go see all the Gen Con costumes and stuff.
There were some pretty nice costumes. There was your obligatory just, hey, look at me, I'm really hot, and here's my breast. But then there was a lot of like costumes people put like in legitimate time and thought and effort, and they tried to match up their outfits with what they're supposed to be.
I saw one I forgot to tell you guys about, but I saw, what's his name that has the Keyblade from the Disney game?
Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts character.
Son of a
bitch. I saw him and I forgot to take a picture because it was when I was leaving the hall and I had my army bag in one hand and I had my tray in the other and I was like, I want to take a picture but I don't have time. I have to go.
That probably would have made me just crash into someone if I would have saw some of that.
It was a really good costume, too.
I love Kingdom Hearts. It's my favorite.
Yeah, that was my fault. I threatened.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of dreads.
Yeah, there were some really sweet dreads.
So,
yeah.
But there's a group of four.
Four dreads.
They were walking around.
I saw a solo and a group of two, so the group of four was some other random group.
Yeah.
There were a couple of War Machine people, and including two Kaias, and this is my question. If there are two Kaias meandering around the hall, how come there aren't two more women in War Machine?
That's a valid question.
Like, it's got to be either people saw the art and they're like, oh, that's cool art, or it's like got to be somebody's wife.
Well, one of the Kaias was with somebody dressed up as like a Krios.
Yeah,
so
and his costume was amazing, too.
His costume was amazing. It was huge. So I assume that they're in some way involved with War Machine. At least he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, you never see women in War Machine. And there were two really good Kaia costumes.
Yeah. Like, somebody put a lot of effort into these costumes.
There was a really good Frozen. There were two, I don't know if they're actually sisters, they're probably just friends, but two girls dressed up as the two sisters from Frozen, which was really cool. There were just a lot of cool costumes. I enjoy the costumes at Gen Con. That is one of the things that I really enjoy about Gen Con.
I love that there's more and more super-sized games, too. I mentioned
that. Oh, yeah.
I spam every time I saw like a super-sized, like, you know, like a 4-foot by 4-foot version of a board game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Robo Rally was like a 12-foot by 12. It was
Remote control.
I am very sad.
They've had that there a couple of years.
Yeah. But I'm just sad awesome. I missed the Cones of Dunshire. That was like, I have two regrets. I didn't get to go to see the Cones of Dunshire, and then I just forgot the other regret, so it mustn't have been too big of a deal.
You know what we also missed on Saturday night? That I didn't realize, and I realized as we were walking back to the venue, at the movie theater they were showing RoboCop.
Oh. They did Aliens Friday night.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's what we did. That's Keith Hooks was like.
Keith Hooks and Jen Hooks posted that they had tickets if anyone wanted to join.
And
them.
We were in the middle of a game.
We were gaming.
By end of Thursday, we were already at 13 hours. I think we had 30 hours of board games over the course of the weekend.
That's believable. My one regret, as long as we're mentioning regrets, is that I neither made it to the Jim Butcher Dresden Q&A, nor did I manage to make it to get his autograph on anything.
I did really see it. We stopped across from
Fool got Fool the has best a really picture.
Fool needs to post his picture of Jim Butcher.
No, he got a picture. I got a picture with him.
Jim
Butcher is sitting there like signing his things, you know, and Fool's over here taking his picture, and he looks up, and it's just like the look is like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's surreal.
Because they don't let you just take pictures like that.
They weren't that bad this last year.
Last year they were really big about
it. There were not a lot of other, like, there was that back corner where they had a couple authors signing, but usually there's a whole autograph section of more people. I never saw that in the hall.
No, not like last. Last year it was the Doctor Who guy. There were a couple others too that were like.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't pay very good attention to the autograph area because I didn't see.
I would say I wanted to go to the Dresden Q&A, and then there were just too many things going on. But
I just realized that when I was going through the aisles, I stopped by Jeff Easley, painter.
Yeah.
He was there this time around, and last year I got him and Elmore confused.
Wow.
Because Easley has this one picture that I really like. It's a picture of this female barbarian, leaning over this ogre, holding him by the nose ring. I was hoping he would have that picture. He didn't have it. He said he might have it in the hotel, and he would bring it back the next day, and I forgot to go again the next day.
Good job.
Oops.
So we all have regrets.
How was your final day Sunday, Andy?
My final day Sunday consisted of just running through Masters, judging that, and also actually running the Three Commanders event, which I supplied an army to somebody who played in that.
When did you leave Gen Con?
I left Gen Con, I think, around 4 to 5 or so.
It's so late. I don't understand what you just
said. I could not... my ride was leaving late, which was okay. But I was still just running through Masters there.
We were home, I think, at 5:30.
Yeah, I think we were.
Yeah, I was home much later than that.
I spent Sunday having a small panic attack because I dropped Ryan's games.
Everything was completely fine. I was like.
You did have a bit of a panic attack. Yeah. How was your Sunday, darling?
Well,
I got to load up a car and get really, really angry.
How was Jeremy's Sunday?
So I went down to the hall. I
walked along just to give him some moral support.
Just moral support. Because I thought I might make Masters. Like I said, I was right on the bubble. The guy that was 9 of 10 in my heat didn't want to go here. I talked to him that night, and he wasn't going to show up Sunday. So I was like, if someone from my heat drops, and I mean, there's 8 guys, and some of them had said it was their first con, and they weren't really sure if they were, like, they didn't know. So I was like, I could very legitimately make it into Masters. So I went down, I got up, I got showered, I got like prepared as if I was going to play in Masters, and got down there. And a couple of people didn't actually show up. It was 8:30 for an 8 o'clock reg, and 2 players had not showed up yet. And Travis said that he was going to call them, and if they weren't like in the convention hall, they were out.
Even before that, we were about 15-20 minutes away from start of rolling dice.
Oh yeah,
we had only 8 people on the sheet.
Yeah,
so we were actually going to at that time just cut Masters straight to 8.
Yeah. Like, they were just, like, people just weren't there. Well, I mean, admittedly, it's a big con. Like, there's a lot going on. Tom Guan slept through the IG finals he qualified for.
He's done that before.
I mean, he is Tom Guan. So, I thought there was a legitimate chance I might actually make it into Masters. And then, like, literally, just as Travis was going to just, like, call it and be like, yep, you're in, I filled out my sheets. I was ready to go. In walked the last 2 people, one of whom, of course, was Keith Christensen, because he's always late, if you know Keith.
Yeah.
My favorite is when he was standing outside the hall to get in, because he forgot his name tag.
we were walking by, like, hey, Keith, what are you doing? He's like, I can't get to the hall. Like, aren't you playing in the Iron Gauntlet finals today? Yeah. When did it start? Like, a minute.
What had he done with his badge?
He left it at the hotel.
So while we were sitting there, Brian, there was a Three Commanders event that they were short. They had only one team sign up for. And Brian and I were like, well, we'll play down a guy. We'll just like submit 2 of my Legion lists, and we'll each play one of them each round, and we'll just play down a guy, and it'll be great. And then you'll at least be able to, you know, have 2 teams. And then they were like, oh, we got another team. So we're like, okay, fine, that's good. Knock yourselves out. And then a third team got together. And they were like, so now we're up to the point again where it's a three teams, and it's teams of 3. So 3 guys are just going to have a bye both rounds. And it's like, that's pretty lame. So Brian and I were sitting there, and Trevor Christensen walks up, and he's like, so what's the deal with the Three Commanders? And Travis is like, well, we really need a third team. Brian and I are like, they're like, well, we'll play. So we formed the epic team, Pooper Potato, and Brian played Andy Cephalix, one-listed.
I one-listed the Cephalix.
I took a variation on my 50-point list that were already on my tray because I was too lazy to do anything else and just turned them into 35-point lists. And Trevor got out Naresh and a shooting Hexy 2 list at 35 points. Infantry shooting, 35-point list. And we proceeded to play in the Three Commanders event. My first round opponent got Butcher 3 onto Thagrosh, Camping 2, which doesn't matter because Butcher 3 has Silence of Death, and proceeded to not kill him, at which point Thagrosh chopped his head off. It was ridiculous. I should not have won. I had no business winning that game. So that was my round one. And then round two, Katie walked in partway through, like at the very beginning of round two. It was, okay, 46?
Is
it
42 minutes.
42 minutes. It's a 42-minute death clock. He had deployed and was still moving on his first turn and was down to 35 minutes. And Katie just leans over and goes, he's going to clock himself. And I said, yup. That is true. So the game, he wound up not clocking himself. Stop it. He wound up not actually clocking himself because I managed to kill enough of his stuff and then get in his own that he like just threw, Resnick. Resnick charged one of my beasts to kill it just for moral points, and then I killed Resnick. But I was playing Veil 2. I thought it would actually be a tough game because he's got Witch Hound. Sure. And I was like, I don't want to like try my spell assassination because you'll just walk away from it.
Yeah, you pointed that out to me. It's like, oh, I got Veil 2 and I got Witch Hound. Oh,
yeah, I guess I won't be doing that. I get to hit you once, which won't kill you, and then you walk away. So I thought it was going to be a rough matchup, but it wound up going my way. So I won both my games. Woohoo!
Yeah, playing the I really enjoy the Cephalix, but at my first game I'm playing against a Kryos 3 player. And he was a newer player, at least for tournament-wise. Like, I'm not sure how he's played the game. And he's even played against some local player doing stuff like, so we even had a little bit of idea what they did. But the game is going, and I usually can finish a game with like 20 plus minutes of my death clock, and I was down to like 6 minutes in that game when I finally was able to win that game. I mean, I figured out at around the 12-minute mark, I had an assassination run, but I had to keep reading the cards and make sure I understood how some of these units worked just to actually pull this stupid thing
off. I
love
that Brian's death clock was under 7 minutes, and he's literally reading the back of one of his own cards and occasionally glancing at the clock and just oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah, but I still couldn't, I was still afraid to roll my dice, so I spent like 5 minutes when I had under 10 minutes just reading the cards to make sure when I finally started doing what I thought would work. So we made it to the championship round, otherwise known as round two. And
this is quite the matchup.
I had a take on myself versus Gatsby 2 in round two. That was a journey. in that game, luckily, what helped me is I only had to spend maybe 42 minutes looking at my cards. Because I actually had sort of a plan, and I actually knew what some of the things did. So that was kind of exciting. And luckily, the scenario was a dead scenario. There was no kill box, so there was no... My caster was able to hide. So I didn't.
That's important.
So I didn't have that kill box pressure against him. And I was just able to constantly death drill his death jack. And I kept doing the explosion on the mindbender things, that little 12, the 4-inch AOE thing.
Yeah.
And I was able... Like, I gave up one of the two monstrosities, but then I was able to kill, like, 6 Spanes back with one... monstrosity explosion, or one little mindbender explosion.
Really? Because my times that I've played them, I've done that spell, I think, once.
Yeah.
I've been playing them since Lock and
Load. Well, I had a TK forward even be able to do it. Oh, so yeah. It was a combination of, like... And I think I even blew my feet just to... I mean, I blew some other things together. So I basically... I blew my feet just to put his models together just so I could explode things over them versus going for the caster kill. So he got behind on attrition, but he obviously still had his feet alive. He made a mistake where he excarnated a bile in melee range of a monstrosity. He couldn't. He lost a purge chance, and then he basically he just couldn't keep himself safe. I was able to put pressure and I was able to threaten control zones. And
at the end there, didn't he like charge in with Gatsby and forget to save the two focus for teleport?
He did. Well, he made a mistake. He thought he had a soul and he didn't. And I'm like, he wanted to cast on next kind of to kill a pistol wraith, so he thought he had saved a focus, but he didn't. But I'm like, I told him, you can just take the 3 focus back because you didn't actually roll the dice for the thing yet.
and you can just teleport if you want, but he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
No.
But
he got confused. He had a soul on one of the... which
I think with Pistol Ray, he really wanted the Pistol Ray dead because he really needed that Death Track to do something at some point. Because otherwise, I would have just Death Chilled the Death Track again, and I would have had my monstrosity completely finish off, and I would have started dominating one of the zones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was still kind of under the gun.
Yeah, he was.
But that was my two rounds, and then...
That was a nice sales pitch to you, too.
Yeah, and then I ran over to the hall, and I have a gazillion press carrier points I never use. So I just bought a bunch of Cephalic stuff.
Okay. And so we were the champions of the world on Sunday morning.
Hey, we got a plaque.
We got a plaque.
I love getting plaques from
two-round events.
Yes, that's my favorite thing to do.
So
I wish I could win a tournament, go to a convention, just play in the Sunday event.
Whatever the Sunday morning event is.
Yeah, you'll have like a 1 in 4 chance of winning it, is usually the odds. I mean, maybe...
That's exactly what you guys did at Adepticon.
That's what he did.
Yeah. And then you get nice plaques. I mean, it's a nice looking thing. And then after that, we did some last minute shopping. We just bolted out of there, and we just got home.
Yep.
I basically, because we were so behind the gun, I basically said bye everybody and ran.
Yeah, we pretty much just took off because Katie was like done waiting.
Yeah. It was time to go.
It was time to go. Well, I mean, there's always a time I said where it's time to go.
That is true.
Gen Con is fun.
Gen Con is amazing.
Now I want to go home.
You should all go next year, and then
any final Gen Con thoughts?
I mean, I want to talk about all the casters that are released, but we don't have time tonight. It'll have to be another podcast.
We can do that next week or so.
But I plan to be very excited and talk about Abby too, because she's really cool.
Met a lot of fun people. Did a lot of. It was a very awesome Gen Con.
Yep.
I spent a lot of time walking this year, so I didn't feel as wore out as normal. So that was helpful.
Yeah, I felt pretty good even on the last day. And I met, like Brian said, we met just a ton of fans. A bunch of people introduced themselves. Andy introduced a couple guys that had been bumped into him, and they came by and said hi.
Yep.
So met a bunch of fans. It was cool. It's always cool to hear that you guys enjoy the podcast, even though we are all confused why. But we
That's a standard joke, by the way.
Yeah.
When you say that, we'll just apologize.
It's not a joke. It truly isn't. Why do you listen to us?
I used to listen to our podcast, and now I can't anymore.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to say thank you to everybody who came out and actually said anything to us.
Yeah.
It's really cool, and it's really humbling at times to know that, you know, that we're somebody's entertainment every single day, every Monday when they go to work.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys was actually nervous to like introduce himself. Like his wife introduced him because I think he was too nervous. And I was like, it reminded me of when Katie was nervous to say hi to Will Wheaton. And I was like, I am no Will Wheaton. No. I'm just not.
we're the same thing as you.
Yeah.
Except for you have one friend that spent too much money on microphones and.
Yes.
Programming equipment.
I would say we put our pants on one leg at a time, except sometimes we get that wrong. So,
no, I'm fine with putting on pants.
But yeah, so, we're pretty far in. I think we're probably going to have to skip Zappities this week.
Fly right
recommendations. Go recommendations.
Well, we could do a couple real quick.
Are there any
I have at least one thing I have to say, though. Thank you very much, Dave, for letting me stay in your room, and thank you very much for getting me the awesome Motorhead beer as well. I do have at least one thing to say and one small promise. We can't make fun of Illinois.
What?
Make fun of Illinois.
What?
There's nothing to make fun of.
It's awesome. It's an awesome place to live.
It is an awesome place
to live. Who are you and what have you done with my friend?
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I don't know if I can do
that. Well, I'll be in Jamaica for
Brian will be in Jamaica, so he'll be able to pull it off. Really, this is going to be a hardship for me personally.
No. Well.
Yeah, it makes it better.
Whatever you say, I will bleep it.
All right.
So if you want, like right now, if you want to get it off your chest, you'll be like a good minute long bleep. No. But Tony, I love Illinois. Zappity.
Does anyone have them pulled up?
I got them right here.
Andy's got a couple there.
I'm just going to go through them real quick. That's the first one is from Tony. Is coolest game you saw at Gen Con?
We'll be getting recommendations in a moment.
Yep. I kind of liked the demo of Skid Marks. I thought that was kind of fun. Zappity grumble. Was it hard for you and Trevor to carry Jeremy through the whole team tourney?
Trevor was the only one to drop a game. We had five wins, and Trevor was the loss.
Well, that's funny, yeah, because he
hey, couldn't. How does that prove against yeah. a crippled system and two, yeah,
two Hellfires on was it Mark?
Two fully boosted Hellfires on Markov. The,
it didn't kill
him.
So.
The junior for Kador, and didn't kill him.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, yeah. He was there for that, yeah.
Camping two, so it was dice even. He rolled a boosted four, and then he missed needing a five or a six to hit with a boost.
Yeah, so he had some bad luck there.
Yup.
How amazing was it to hang out with Keith Hooks at Jam? Sucked.
It was Captain, you know what? I'm going to say...
Your wife is amazing.
His yes. wife is amazing.
Good answer. Good answer.
Keith has made at least one proper choice in his life.
They only came to say hi to me like once, and then they were like gone. I never saw them again.
Well, we only really hung out with them the one time.
We saw them a few minutes on Thursday, or Wednesday night. We saw them a few minutes Wednesday night, and we saw them on Saturday. They spent Friday out of the con. They were doing like...
They saw Will Wheaton.
They ate dinner next to him, and they went to like a beer tour, and they did other Indianapolis fun things.
He thought it was so impressive to see Will Wheaton. I mean, everyone sees Will Wheaton. He basically, everyone gets timeshare with Will Wheaton at Gen Con. It's just part of the
see him this year.
Not this year, but I mean, I've seen him most years, and he's just everywhere. It's just he's
Will. Well, he loves Gen Con.
Yeah,
Gen Con's amazing.
That is true.
So I did end up meeting Paulo. He was pretty cool. He was asking, or he said, it was awesome meeting with Andy. Too bad I missed the others. What's the next con and crew that we're going to, so we can come and be a fanboy?
All War Machine weekend.
War Machine weekend is it? Mm. And then who's the boss in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yep, in November,
December 6th.
December.
Over at Misty Mountain. More words will go up on that very soon. Just recovering for today. I pretty much just skipped over the rest of them. We might get to them next week. But we're trying to cut down on the Zavity Grumbles to try to keep these things.
Well, especially this week because we just had so much Gen Con to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot of Gen Con in this one.
That is true.
So we go into like recommendations or games that we picked up that were entirely random.
Well, I could recommend a certain thing, but I have been informed I can't steal recommendations this week.
I'm going to recommend Ladies and Gentlemen.
Thank God.
All right. There's one.
Hey, you know what? You could have actually recommended it, and I wouldn't have remembered until you said something, and then I would have been into a blind rage.
I had a recommendation that Brian had also promised not to take, and I don't remember what it was. Like, I literally can't remember it because Gen Con has wiped all other things from my memory.
Gen Con does. I leave Gen Con exhausted, wore out. I've played 30 hours plus of gaming, and all I want to do is game like a motherfucker I have all weekend things going on. I'm trying to get stuff during the week to game. I want to just get as much gaming before I'm gone for 2.5 weeks out of my system. I need to game more. But what's your recommendation, Jeremy?
Jeez. You go ahead. I'm still torn.
I'll go with mine right away. Okay. My recommendation is Carmageddon Reincarnation. So if you're a fan of any like Twisted Metal or even the previous Carmageddon series, go look up Carmageddon Reincarnation on YouTube. It is amazing. It is, think of like Death Race 2000. That's what the game is like. You just go for a race. There are three conditions to win. One is to actually win the race. Two is to either just kill all of your opponents. Or three, kill every single pedestrian in the board. And that's nice. Carmageddon. Nice. It's such a good game.
Nice. And I'll recommend. I will recommend Caverna. I mean, I've played a lot of games with Gen Con, but that was just a pretty amazing game. It's a very expensive game. It's $100, but it's pretty thick as far as what it gives you. And it's just it's a worker placement game at its core, but it's just a really well designed, fun game.
Yeah. I'm gonna. I have another recommendation, but I am going to echo. If Brian had not recommended Caverna, it would have been 100% my recommendation.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if there's another game that even like compared for me this weekend.
Well, Village was really good,
but I didn't get to play that one.
That's true.
So I can't speak one way or the other because I just didn't get to play it. But Caverna was amazing. Caverna was the best game I've played in a long time, and I love lots of the games we play. But like, if we got rid of all of them and only had Caverna, I would be okay with that.
I would not.
Well, right. I understand. I'm not saying it's my first choice, but like, if right now today you said, "Okay, Jeremy, for the rest of your life you only get to play one game and you only get to pick one," right now today I would pick Caverna. Like, I'm not saying that's how I'll feel in 3 months, but it's how I feel right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a high... I can see why, for a game only being out basically a year and a half, that it's already the number five game on BoardGameGeek. I mean, I can understand that it's climbed the ranks that fast, because it's amazing.
But my secondary recommendation is actually going to be a goofy little game. I don't usually recommend goofy little games, but I played this one, and it was fun enough that I kind of enjoyed it. I don't know... I tend to go in for meatier games, so it's not something I'll play a lot, and I didn't buy it myself, but Legal Gun had it, and it's called Splendor. And it's a simple little game. You buy gems. Each turn, you take gems. You either take two of one type or three of three different types, and then you use those gems to buy cards. And the cards you buy either give you permanent gems to help you buy more expensive cards, or they give you points. And you just go till you have 15 points. It's a simple little game. It's fun. We played it in probably less than 10 minutes, a three-player game. And I enjoyed it enough that I would definitely recommend it and say that it's a fun little, like, if you're into those quick little games and that's what your gaming group likes to do, you should give it a try.
Sweet. Sweet. I did pick up a copy. I'm not trying to draw this out any further, but it looks like I am. there was a game that was released on Kickstarter. It was really made as just kind of just to make the game. He's not really making it for production, so he was just kickstarting this game himself. The game is called Zombie House Blitz. It's got pretty good ratings on BoardGameGeek. At least it's above 7, so it's usually where most things weigh. It's a card game where you're just basically trying to save people. You know, like if you can't save grandma, oh well. It's one of the things. I haven't played it. When I went to go buy that little dice dungeon slayer game, or the dragon slayer game, the owner, the guy who made the game, had it was their last copy.
Oh, too bad.
So I got it from him, and he actually autographed it for me too.
Nice.
So
I have one complaint. I have with Gen Con. I am sick to... And Nathan's not here to complain about things, so I
okay, so you're going to take a rant.
These stupid ice bucket challenges people keep putting on Facebook. I understand. It's for a charity. No, you're being a fucking moron. You want to give money to charity? Give money to charity. Just stop saying, oh, I threw a bucket of ice in my head. I've contributed to the world now, and I've helped a charity. Fuck you.
You know, all I've seen is posts from people complaining about it. My feed doesn't have any people actually posting.
I haven't seen it either.
I've seen it.
I've seen a bunch. I didn't start noticing, but I mean, most of my feed all weekend has been just all my friends spamming Gen Con. But every so often, I get this stupid ice bucket thing. I'm like, you know what? You're not. People are like, oh, I helped. I contributed to fighting some diseases because I threw a bucket of water. How much money do you give?
That's about as much contributing as sharing a picture so somebody will get a, you know, a good luck wish or something like that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's all I had.
All right, good. Well, we've got our rant out of the way. Thank you for listening to episode 82 of Crippled
System.
The least
racist podcast we've done ever.
And that's because Nathan wasn't here.
Interesting. Interesting.
Coincidence? You decide.
I will say, though, I apologize to everybody out there who do listen to our podcast that we didn't mention, because you guys mean a lot to us, and it's, you know.
We met a million
stuff
people.
That happened.
And I realize I will be here next Sunday. That'll be this following Sunday will be the last podcast.
So you have to listen to Brian one more week.
It'll be my last podcast for a month.
We can go through a test run to see how it goes without you there. So, see you guys next.
See you then. Bye.